Take it from here. Don't go away when you can take it from here. Why don't you stay and maybe join in the fun now that's all that's begun? Everyone is in a flap and almost anything can happen.
Yes, with Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards together again, almost anything can happen and presumably will. Moreover, we've found Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and Keynotes among those present. And Frank Cantell has brought the augmented review orchestra along. So if you've got half an hour, that's more or less clear.
Take it from here.
Oh, Joy, Joy, come here a moment. Have you noticed how busy Bentley has been this last week? He's been flying around like a rumor at a wedding.
Yes, I know, Jimmy, and he's been getting mysterious telephone calls. He won't let me hear. Every time he speaks, why does he have to put his hand in front of his mouth?
Oh, that's to keep his teeth in. I don't like it at all, Joy. Bentley usually takes me into his confidence when he's in trouble. And remember, after that party, didn't I pay his fine when he was summoned for parking all night parallel to the curb?
But, Jimmy, that's how you're supposed to park a car.
He wasn't in a car. And have you seen those expensive things he's been buying? Little things he's never bothered with until now, like shoes and a collar.
Jimmy, you don't think Dick's mixed up with that gang that did the big job last Monday night?
Oh, no. Charlie Chester's already got a suit. And have you heard the latest development? Bentley's hired Alan Dean as his butler.
Well, Dickie did tell me he had a retainer, but I thought he meant that body belt he knitted.
We must get to the bottom of this, Joy. That man's been insufferable all this week. Ah, we may learn something now. Here comes Alan Dean. Hello, Dean.
Please rise to your feet. Richard Bentley is approaching.
Well. Good evening. Here, Dean, my hat, my coat, my lining. Edward, Nichols, Dean. Shake their hands for me, will you?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir, Mr. Bentley, sir.
Dick, what is this? You look so different. Those clothes.
Like them? Just an afternoon suit I had made in Savile Row.
Where were you at the time? Oh, that's the sort of joke that makes people buy sets.
Television sets. Mm. Joy, I thought you'd like this suit. My usual quiet, good taste. This tie is a bit bright, but it'll be all right when the battery runs down. You like the waistcoat? I fixed the material myself.
Oh, Dick, how clever of you to have thought of mink. And look, Jimmy, just look at the size of that diamond ring.
Yes, I have to switch it to dim when passing oncoming traffic.
Gently, Bentley. Tell me, Bentley, where did you get the money for all this? Don't tell me you've been up to your old lark, selling photos of Philip Dixie at the schoolboy's exhibition.
Oh, no, no, not a bit. If you must know, I met a man who really appreciates me for what I am.
Who was it? Ripley?
No, it wasn't. I met a man at my club. I was dining late, and I rented him a little small service. He couldn't get the vinegar bottle off the chain.
Have you gone into business with him?
In a way. He's managing director of a cigarette firm. They make Willoughby's wonderful whips. Here, try one. Research has proved that 4 out of 5 people smoke this cigarette.
Well, I'm not touching it after 4 people have been sucking up the spin.
But, Jimmy, I just have to mention Willoughby's wonderful whip 6 times on this broadcast, and I get £50. It's money for old rope.
So that's what they're made on.
Oh, and the name has already been bought in twice. Another 4 mentions, and I get my money.
No, Bentley, it must stop instantly. I cannot allow any scheme advertising a commodity such as Willoughby's wonderful whip.
3 times.
It's a commercial product, and the BBC prohibits any form of commercial broadcasting. From now on, there must be no more mentioning.
No more mention of Willoughby's wonderful whip.
No more mention of Willoughby's wonderful whip.
5 times. Oh, go on, Jimmy, just once more, and I've got the money.
No more, definitely and positively, understand?
Yes. Willoughby's one of
Bentley, you mustn't do it. And get rid of those ghastly clothes. Really, if any of my people were to see me with you. After all, my pater just happens to hold an important position on the council.
That's right. He's a dustman.
Very keen, too. He often brings his work home of an evening.
Why, Jimmy, it's Wallace Eaton, the man who knew you when.
Oh, yes, Miss Nichols. Jimmy, he's proud of Jim in the building.
Well, really, Wall, I will not have you make these derogatory references to my early days.
No, go on, Wall. This is fun. Oh, yes, it's good. It's good to remember the old days. Oh, he was a lad, was our Jim. Best runner our school ever produced.
Cross-country runner?
No, a bookies runner. You remember, Jim, how we used to swim in the public baths on mixed bathing? Huh? He was a shy lad, Jim was. Would never change in the cubicle round the edge with the rest of us. Where did he change them? On the tram going down.
Oh, what a tissue of slanderous fabrications.
Yes, Jim, they were good old days, weren't they? You know, all our landing have done well for themselves. Big brackets in insurance, Alpern's stores in soft furnishings, and Desiree Flump has married an Ed Porter.
Well, I pride myself I'm in a vastly different position from any of them.
Oh, yes, Jimmy, yes.
Quite, Bentley. It only goes to show, doesn't it?
Oh, certainly does, Jimmy. Looks like you're the only failure.
There's only one thing in this world smoother and sweeter than the keynote singing.
And what's that?
Willoughby's wonderful.
Bentley! Honestly, Bentley, I'll give you such a slap on the wrist. I told you no advertising. This needs investigating.
Then let's investigate, Jimmy. We've got all the facts here.
Wacko. This week in our series Facts of Type, we present Facts on Advertising.
One realm that advertising has recently invaded is the cinema. Sandwiched in between the newsreel and the cartoon, we often find a bright little advertising film. And it is gratifying to see the tremendous response from the audience.
Doctor, is there a hope?
Yes, Mrs. Brown, the crisis is over. We have cured your son, and now it's up to you to do your part.
You mean watch over him every minute?
No, to ensure an easy convalescence. Just make certain that before going to sleep, he has a hot cup of this.
Oh, it's an advert!
Broad advertising techniques still have plenty of opponents. The BBC, for example, always confine themselves to a strict recital of facts. how different it would be if Program Parade borrowed its approach from the advertiser.
Here is today's Program Parade. At 2:30 this afternoon, you can hear...
She's mean, she's moody, she's magnificent.
Doris Arnold. Then at 5:15, we bring you...
Not since Nero has there been such a scene of riotous orgy. Wild-eyed lovely sway hungrily to the insistent savage rhythm, while panting desperate men sprawl among a litter of champagne bottles. This is brought to your loudspeaker tonight in...
Victor Sylvester's dancing. And finally, at 10:45,
fun for all the family causes roars of innocent laughter and has no lasting effect. Good, clean dates and wheezes that liven every party.
Today in Parliament.
Sweet are the uses of advertisement, especially where women are concerned. Perfume advertisements have a language all their own, which is often very puzzling to the mere male.
Hello, Elf. Surely you've got young Herbert to propose yet?
Did her best last night. Brought home a load of assorted perfumes.
What's that?
French for scent. They were specially designed to get a bloke, what you might say, willing.
Yeah, but how did it work?
Well, Lil started off with a dollop of Desire Me behind her ear hole. That was to get him going, see? Then an half pint of Nuit de Rivariera over a jumper. That was to put ideas in his head.
But what next?
Well, then she rubbed her scalp with Forbidden Delight, sort of to give him the eye-eye, and then topped it all off by slacking herself with Surely Toits to Set Me Causeway.
Bloke don't stand a chance against all that, do he? What happened when Herb arrived?
Nothing. He had a cold in his head. But of all forms of advertising, our favourite is the newspaper strip cartoon. Remember the one? It's in three panels, generally advertising some new hopeless washing powder with a weird name like Shook. The first drawing shows a busy, dead keen husband saying goodbye to a harassed, overworked housewife.
Goodbye, harassed, overworked housewife.
Goodbye, busy, dead, keen husband. How I wish I could give you a clean handkerchief for your breast pocket. That dishcloth looks so odd with your old Etonian tie.
Oh, and today of all days when I asked the boss for a rise. If we go on much longer at a salary of 3 and 6 weeks, I will have to give up the car.
Oh, I cannot keep pace with the washing. Would that there was some shortcut on wash day. Why, it is our kindly old family doctor. Hello, kindly old family doctor.
Hello, harassed, overworked housewife.
Hello, kindly old family doctor.
Hello, busy, dead, keen husband.
Hello, harassed, overworked...
All right. I brought you the answer to your wash day worries. You get instantaneous lather with Chuck. See, I will put one pinch into your washtub. Now, hey presto. Later that same week.
Surprise, surprise. Oh, maybe. Maybe since you washed my breast pocket tanky with a shoot. I've been made a senior partner. My salary has gone up to $25,000 a week, and I'm to get a month's holiday once a fortnight.
Oh, good. And we owe it all to our kindly old family doctor. And to shoot. Oh, darling, I must run out and get the large family tin.
Yes, then we can raise a large family.
This is the story about a guy who came home late one night.
Must have been 2 or 3 a.m., something like that.
Got to get me some sleepy yawn as he turned out the light.
Must have been too tired to do any reading.
Whether he dreamed what happened.
Or if he really heard it, well, he wouldn't bet.
But he swears it sounded like two cats.
Yeah?
Singing a duet.
Come meow, my pretty kitten. We will serenade the moon.
Come meow,
my pretty kitten. We will sing a little tune.
Meow.
when the folks got home tonight, yep. 12 or thereabout, they locked the door and they forgot to put me out.
Come out, my pretty kitten. Meow, not meow. Come out, my pretty kitten. This is me, your boyfriend, Tom. Come out, my pretty kitten.
This is Tom, the atom bomb.
Not meow. I assure you I'd come out if only I knew how. They tell me that you really are the cat. Meow.
Come out, my pretty kitten.
Oh, you want to get out to your boyfriend, do you, kitty?
Yeah.
Well, get out!
I meow my handsome kitten. Meow. Yes, meow.
Miss Nichols and Mr. Dean, that was The Cat Song by Jepussy. Sometimes called the felicitous feline. Well, greetings, gentlefolk. So we come to my program notes on this week's film, which is a romantic drama of the time of King Charles II and the Restoration, the days when ladies wore V-neck dresses and furbelows. Furbelow, well, they'll let you wear them now. Thought it was a period of much license. And the censor said, whatever happens, there must be no bedroom scenes with Bentley. The only way we could prevent Bentley making a scene in the bedroom was to give him his teddy bear and promise to keep the light on. In this film, Bentley has the part of a restoration rake. A rake, as you know, being a long, thin thing with four teeth. This is what is called typecasting. However, he brings to his part all the romantic appeal of a boy about 10. He's all dressed up in buckram and bows, and in his left hand, he carries a snuff box. The producer told him to stand beside Margaret Lockwood and take a pinch every now and again. Yes. His case comes up next week. I didn't really have to say that, did I? However, this little film was made for J. Arthur Rank, who kept strict supervision over the production. He arrived one evening and said to me, what have you done today? I said, laughing boy in the 2:30. And he flung up his hands and said, go out and get your money. I didn't even know I'd won. So, to our overture, which is played on this momentous occasion by Frank Stenzel and the Augmented Orchestra, by special arrangement with money. So, overture, gentlemen, please.
Nathan.
I tell you, Carruthers, I've got as far as page 30 in this book, and I'll not read another page.
Why not?
Well, page 30 is a honey.
And so back to the screen comes Joy Nichols, who photographs very well with her back to the screen. She plays vivid, warm-hearted Amber.
Aunt Tiff, my lord, you make bold, sir. I have come to the court to find myself a husband. Anybody's husband. And the king himself has offered me a string of pearls for one kiss. Quite frankly, I'd have settled for a string of sausages.
Playing opposite Miss Nichols, we find that shy, modest, unassuming starlet, Richard Bentley, the only actor to get chapped lips from kissing mirrors. He
He plays Lord Bruce Carlton, that hard-living, hard-drinking gambler.
Ah, then. Give me another pint of pip. Thank you. Oh, that's it. So soft. So it's off I am to see my Lady Amber. The wind has blown a gap in her boudoir window. I promised I'd look into it.
The film also stars Professor Jimmy Edwards, who has just finished a documentary film based on Churchill's memoirs. It is entitled The Secret Life of a War Committee. He plays King Charles II, that dissolute roué.
Yes, I'm one of the roués that Cromwell knocked about of it. But I'm still the Merry Monarch, 1630 to 1685. And I'm the first king to insist on exercising my franchise. Well, it's no use walking around with a flabby franchise, is it?
So, to our picture. For the first time, the typecast appear in Technicolor. So watch for all their natural flesh tints. All the glorious greens, blues, and yellows. Ladies and gentlemen, we present Forever Edward, or Amber Neath the Urges.
Make way for His Majesty King Charles II. Make obeisance for King Charles. Clap hands, here comes Charlie.
Gentlemen, be seated. We are in the mood to be amused. Where is that fascinating creature whose provocative charms have captured all hearts?
I am here, my liege.
Not you. Not you, you fool. I'm referring to Amber. Who are you, anyway? I can't place your face. Not where I'd like to, anyway.
I am Lord Bruce Carlton. Amber and I are walking out together.
Well, you can just walk back. What happened to the girl? I took her to supper last night. I wined her and dined her, and now I can't find her.
Oh, my liege, Amber is but a simple country lass. She very rarely goes to town.
Well, she did last night. I command you to find her. Perhaps she's still in that room there. Rap on the door, Carlton.
I'd better not, Your Majesty. It has a notice saying, hush. Hush, whisper who dares. Christopher Wren is designing some stairs.
Well, fetch her hither. If she's not dressed, go to her boudoir and wait for the amber to change.
No, Your Majesty. Do not come between us. You can offer her a kingdom, riches, servants, and me. All I have is my youth.
Oh, yes, where is he these days? Enough. Have Amber appear at the Royal Ball tonight. The Earl of Rochester shall be in charge. Have you got that, Rochester? Rochester!
Yeah, King, a stone up there. Just come to the King.
I knew nothing of the King's command. I was sitting having breakfast with my morning mail. He was a guards officer. When a carriage drew up with a jerk, the jerk got out. It was that Bruce Carlton. I got rid of the guards officer. Oh, quick, Pongo, get into the cupboard. Carlton's here.
Oh, bad show. Right, old thing. See you anon. Shut the cupboard door behind me.
Oh, Amber, it is I, Lord Bruce, the Earl of your dreams.
Wait, what is this pipe doing here?
Oh, well, I've given up the guards.
Oh, for a moment I was suspicious. Forsooth. Forsooth, Amber, you look wonderful in that off-the-shoulder negligee.
This old thing? It's just something I threw on.
Well, you very nearly missed. Oh, Amber, the worst has happened. The king wants you to go to the palace.
Oh, Rapture, is he interested in me?
You think so? Every time your name crops up, steam cometh out of his ears. But don't go, Amber. Be mine. That hair, those eyes, those lips, that chin, that neck.
Oh, Lord Carlton, what are you up to?
I'm up to that neck. As far as the script goes. Oh, why? Why do you torment me, you minx? A kiss. One kiss. There. What does it feel like to be kissed by Bruce Carlton?
Oh, it is a strange, indescribable feeling. How shall I put it? Have you ever stepped on a wet frog with your bare feet?
he spurned me, cast aside like a worn-out gumboot. There's the thing.
Oh, you'll get over it, my lord. There are plenty more fish in the sea.
Who wants to go out with a fish?
My mind is made up. I have a fancy to be the king's fancy.
Very well, but I shall see you again at the Master Ball tonight. Just look for a tall, handsome six-footer with massive shoulders and a flashing smile.
Will he know where you are?
Yes, I'll leave word. Amber! I go. My coachman is outside with the four in hand. The fifth one has turned up to the drop. Farewell till tonight.
Farewell, my only love. Now, what did I do with that guard, officer? Oh, yes, he's in the cupboard. All right, darling, you can come out now.
Blimey, wasn't it hot in there?
Oh, no.
My lords and ladies of the court, the next dance will be a ladies' excuse me entitled Give Me Five Minuets More.
Ah, truth, Lord Buckingham. That shuttish was a bit hottish. I'm fair sweating. Why, look who's here. Ah, Mrs. Amber, what is your pleasure?
Well, really, surely you've read my book. Your Majesty. Your Majesty, as soon as I received your summons, I ran alone through the streets of London.
Alone? But what about the great plague?
Oh, he's knocking about here somewhere. Come, then let us dally for the nonce. What say, my dear? Shall we kiss?
You mean each other?
We might even do that. Oh, you're so cold and formal. I could show you how Amber makes love. If only I had someone here I could use as a guinea pig.
Alton, how dare you interrupt, sirrah? You should be taking care of the ladies.
I was, but I ran out of tickets. Oh, Amber, put that king down. You don't know where he's been.
Have a care, Carlton. You have obviously come here with a chip on your shoulder.
Your Majesty, that's his head. I do allow you look powerful fancy tonight. What is that beauty spot doing on your left cheek?
All gentlemen of the period paint a beauty spot on their cheek.
Yes, but not Babbacombe Beach showing the old harbour.
Oh, Amber, leave this palace with me. I said, leave this palace with me, Amber. I can offer you riches as well. I'll lay my fortune at your feet, diamonds, rubies, and gold fleece.
Surely that word should be plate.
Very well, I'll lay my fortune at your plate.
Amber, you must choose between us. What do you want, marriage or riches, a husband or fame?
Yes, that's what I want.
Very well, Amber. I renounce my claim on you. I shall go off to America. It is there in my plantation I shall find something that will bring me lasting contentment.
You don't mean...
Yes. Willoughby's wonderful whip made it.
There it goes!
Frank Cantell and the augmented review orchestra bring our show to a close. Those involved were Joy Nichols, Dick Bentley, and Professor Jimmy Edwards, encouraged by Wallace Eaton, Alan Dean, and McKenna. Frank Muir and Dennis Norton wrote the script on top of the plot, and Charles Maxwell, the producer, insists that they write it on paper next time. Joy, Dick, and Jimmy invite you to tune in at a similar time next week, and...